Since we're going to be starting Sefer Vayikra this week, a Sefer that deals primarily with Karbanos, so I just wanted to share a brief, but I think a very beautiful insight of the Meshech Chachma on the topic of Karbanos in general, and the Hashkafa of Karbanos. The Gemara Menachos Nav Kuf Yud Amud Aleph points out that in the Parshas HaKarbanos, it never uses the names Elokim or Kel. Only the name Hashem is written, Yudkei Vavkei. And the Gemara explains that the Torah did this intentionally, not to give an opening to any apikoros to rebel, that he shouldn't say something wrong. Now, what exactly does that mean? Why would the use of the name Kel or the name Elohim in any way give an opening to an apikoros? Why would the use of other names of God besides for the name of Hashem, besides for Yudkei Vavkei, leave room for someone to rebel against the Ribbono Shel Olam? It's a very difficult passage in the Gemara. Second, the Medrash in Mechilton Parshas Yisro states, Lama Samcha Parshas HaMishpatim LeParshas HaMizbeach? Why is it that the Parsha of Mishpatim is right next to the Parsha of the Mizbeach? Lomer Lecha Shetasim Sanhedrin Eitz Al HaMizbeach. To tell you that the Sanhedrin is supposed to sit near the Mizbeach. The place where the Sanhedrin HaGadol in Yerushalayim sits is in the Lishchas HaGazis, which is right near the Mizbeach. Now, obviously, the juxtaposition of the Sanhedrin and the Mizbeach is supposed to represent some type of deeper connection. But what exactly is this connection between the Sanhedrin and the Mizbeach? It seems to have two totally separate functions. The Sanhedrin is the judicial branch of our society, and the Mizbeach, the highest judicial office, rather, of the Jewish society, and the Mizbeach is where we do our avoda. What does one have to do with the other? So the Yesod that will help us answer these questions, Meshech Chachma doesn't express it quite in this way, but the Yesod is as follows. It's very easy for one to make a mistake when you look at the idea of Karbanos, you look at what a Karban is. On the surface, it looks like we're offering something to the Ribbono Shel Olam, as if the Ribbono Shel Olam needs something from us, and we therefore supply him with what he needs. And the Torah therefore goes to great lengths to stress that Karbanos are for us. Karbanos are not for Hashem. God doesn't need anything from us. What we need to give to God, we need for our own well-being to do the right thing, and the Karbanos provide us with an avenue to do that. But the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't need anything from us. The Pasuk in this week's parasha tells us of the obligation of each Baal HaKarban to bring his Karban to the Ohel Moed. And Rav Zalman Soroskin points out in his Oznayim LaTorah that there's a distinction between this and the mitzvah of tzedakah, where we go to the person's house to collect, and we even force him to give it. By tzedakah, the result is what's significant. If the ani has been supported, you've fulfilled your mitzvah, whether it was voluntarily or otherwise. And therefore, we're going to go to the guy's house, and we're going to force him if necessary. By a karban, the fact that sof kol sof, you have given something to God, is insignificant. You haven't given anything to God. God doesn't need anything from you. It's dafka the desire of the person to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam and his desire to internalize the message of the Karban that's significant. That's why the Baal HaKarban has to bring his Karban to the Ohel Moed. We don't go to him and pull his Karban out of him like we do by the Baal Tzedakah. By the Baal Tzedakah, it's a goal-oriented mitzvah. So if the goal is met, so you did it. The Ani has what to eat, and that's the bottom line. But when it comes to the Karban, it's a Maisa-oriented mitzvah. We're focused on the Nedivos HaLev. We're focused on the person trying to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it doesn't make any sense to have a notion of us going and pulling it out of him. And based on this, we can answer the questions that we began with. The Meshech Chachma explains that the names Elokim and Kel both represent how the Ribbono Shel Olam relates to people. Elokim represents God's strength and his judgment, whereas Kel represents God's actions to do good for people. The name Hashem, on the other hand, represents the Ribbono Shel Olam's complete independence. He was, is, and will always be. Haya hove v'yihye. He's a constant unto himself. He can't possibly require the support of anybody else because he's the complete symbol of independence. He's completely self-sufficient. And this is why the Mizbeach is made out of stone, the Meshech Chachma explains, and not out of wood. Anything that's living grows when it is nourished and dies when it's not nourished. The stone does not grow. It's a completely independent unit. We're supposed to look at the Mizbeach and internalize the idea that just as the Mizbeach doesn't require any nourishment, so too the God that we're bringing the Karban to doesn't require our gifts. And this is why the Torah tells us, L'sit l'cha asheru kol eitz, eitzel mizbeach Hashem. If I can't plant any tree by the mizbeach, why would the Torah put a specific emphasis and a stress on the asherah? So the Medrash tells us that all of the names given for Avodah Zarah are really derogatory nicknames. The Goyim who worshipped Asherah didn't call it Asherah. We call it Asherah because we're mocking it. How does the word Asherah mock the Avodah Zarah, this tree? So the term Asherah comes from the fact, the Medrash says, that mis Asheres me'acherim, it needs the support of other things to keep it standing. The idea of Asherah is exactly the opposite of the idea of a carbon. The idea of a carbon is that the Ribono Shalom is completely independent, doesn't need the support of anything. How do we mock the Asherah? That look, it can't live on its own. It needs us, it needs sunlight, it needs us to water it, it needs us to prune it, it needs our support in order to be able to make it. The idea of Asherah, that their God needs support, or that the idea that an object of worship needs support, has to be kept far away from the Mizbeach. Lo sita l'cha asheira kaleitz eitzel Mizbeach Hashem. Don't plant any tree, but specifically because trees represent, in general, the idea of Ashera, the idea of Misasheres Me'acherim, the idea of something that needs support, and such a notion, such an idea, such a concept, has no business, eitzel Mizbeach Hashem, has no business being anywhere near the Mizbeach. What other area of Jewish life requires absolute independence, requires someone to be above the fray, completely independent of anything else, of any monetary interests, or anything of that nature? The other area of Jewish life where independence is a crucial element is Dayanos. If one is going to judge fairly, he has to be unbiased by power, by money, by influence. He has to be completely self-sufficient. That is why the Sanhedrin, perhaps, sits near the Mizbeach. What's the symbolism of the Sanhedrin by the Mizbeach? Because we just explained. The Mizbeach represents self-sufficiency. It represents independence. If we want to inspire a Sanhedrin of judges toward independence, toward independent thinking, and toward being unbiased, we put them right next to the Mizbeach. They're constantly reminded of the need for complete independence. And that's the meaning of the phrase, Kol Dayan Shedon Din Emes La'amito. Any judge who judges truthfully, Nasa Shutof LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Maisa Bereishis, becomes God's partner in Maisa Bereishis. Just as the Ribono Shel Olam is completely independent and unaffected by what happens and remains the same before creation as he is after it, or the same after creation as he was before it, a judge too has to be completely independent of all that goes on around the case. A judge is a Shutof LaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that explains so beautifully, the Meshech Chachma says, the stira between two very well-known Mishnayos in Maseches Avos. On the one hand, the Mishnah tells us, B'shlosha dvarim ha'olam omeid. The world stands on three things. What are they? Torah, Avoda, u'gmilas chasadim. Yet, we also say in the Mishnah Avos, B'shlosha dvarim ha'olam kayam. The world remains standing, or runs, on three things. Aladin, Emes, v'ashalom. It's Din, Emes, and Shalom. Now, obviously, the three are meant to parallel the three. Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, in some way, should parallel Din, Emes, and Shalom. So we can well understand two out of the three. We can well understand Emes related to Torah. Moshe Emes, V'Toraso Emes. Torah's Emes. The idea of a Torah being truthful, that certainly links together very nicely. And obviously, we can also understand Shalom relates to Chesed. Obviously, when one does chasadim, when one is a bal chesed, it promotes shalom in the world. But then what does that leave left? What does that leave us with? It leaves us with din and avoda. How does din relate to avoda? Says the Meshech Chachma, it's perfect. Based on what we said, they're two sides of the same coin. The idea of complete independence is crucial to the integrity of both enterprises. The very notion of avoda demands our knowledge and our understanding that the Ribono Shel Olam is completely independent, and the very notion of dayanus, of serving as a dayan, demands absolute independence. So yes, din and avoda are two sides of the same coin. And the kicker, the Meshech Chachma says, how unbelievably exact is the expression in the Gemara, Mesech Sanhedrin Dav Zayin, which at first glance doesn't really seem to make any sense. The Gemara tells us, Kol Hamam Dayan She'eno Hagun, anyone who establishes a judge, who's an inappropriate judge, someone who's going to be biased, who's going to take bribes, who's not going to be above the fray. So you could imagine the Gemara could finish that sentence any way it wants. You want to be Mamre Dayan Sheino Hagun, you're like a Mechal Shabbos, you're like an Avid Avad Zara, you like, could have said anything. Could have picked any Aver in the world to link the someone who's Mamre Dayan Sheino Hagun to. What does the Gemara say? Unbelievable. Kol hamamid dayon sheino hagun, kilu mamid ashera itzel mizbeach. It's as if he planted an ashera by the mizbeach. What in the world does that have to do with anything? Of all the things to pick, an ashera by the mizbeach. Ah, but the Meshech Chachma says, based on what we've said until now, it's perfect. Your mamid dayon sheino hagun, what have you done? You've taken an institution which needs which runs on the concept of mizbeach. It runs on the concept of complete independence. And you know what you did? You brought in the concept of ashera, of something that gets supported from something else. You put an ashera etzel the mizbeach. That's the sin of putting a dayan she'eno hagun in place. You've taken the concept of something that's dependent on others and put it where it does not belong, where only complete independence belongs. I think that's the Hashkafas HaChayim the Meshech Chachma was trying to give us in terms of how we're supposed to relate to Sefer Vayikra. A lot of Karbanos, a lot about the Karbanos. We have to realize that there's no such thing as us giving to Hashem something that Hashem doesn't have. The Ribbono Shel Olam is completely independent. He doesn't need us. We need the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we need the ability to serve Him in order for us to live fulfilled lives as Jews. And if I could just close with one last comment, and that is that Sefer Vayikra is a little bit depressing, and it should be a little bit depressing, in the sense that think about the fact that 20% of Chumash no longer applies nowadays, at least 20%. All of these Karbanos we no longer have. We have to realize we're approaching the Yom Tov of Pesach. We get excited for it, and yes, there's a lot of work that we do for it, and there's a lot of Torah that we're going to share over the Yom Tov of Pesach, and there's a lot of great time with family, and it's a focus on Chinuch, and there's a lot of wonderful things that happen. But we should still recognize that the way we spend Pesach is a shell of what Pesach is really supposed to be. Pesach is supposed to be, as the Gemara in Pesachim describes, with Kohanim knee-deep in blood, walking in the Beis HaMikdash on Erev Pesach with millions of Jews bringing Korban Pesach and everyone eating the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is the centerpiece for the whole holiday. The Matzah and Maror go together along with the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is what it's really all about. We have to realize as we approach Sefer Vayikra just how much we're missing. And we should be zocha soon to have Judaism in its completest sense, with the Beis HaMikdash and with the Avoda and the Kohanim B'Avodasam, Levim B'Duchanim, to be able to do Yisrael B'Ma'amadam, to be able to do what we need to do to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam in the best way possible.